You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is week one in our series, Jesus Never Said That. For more information and to visit us online, go to midcurrentchurch.org. And now, here's Pastor Sten with this week's message.
Hey, we're glad to have you here with us today. I want to welcome you to Mid-Current. My name is Sten. And I'm the pastor here, and it is honestly so good to have you with us today. If you were here maybe possibly for the first time last week on Easter and you decided to join us again today, whether it's on site or online, I just want to say an extra special welcome to you. We're glad to have you back here with us. Last Sunday, Easter Sunday, was just a really exciting time for us. Truthfully, a record-breaking Sunday that you were all a part of. And so to have you here again, all of you here, on-site or online, to have you here again today on the heels of that really momentous day, super special to me. And I'm also really excited today because as you heard just a little bit before, we are starting a brand new message series today called Jesus Never Said That. Now, whether you are a Jesus follower or not, or whether you're a typical churchgoer or not, my guess is that you showed up here today thinking that maybe, possibly, you would hear what Jesus did say as opposed to what he didn't say. So let me explain. Truthfully, Jesus had a lot to say during his time on earth. In most Bibles, the words that he spoke, they're highlighted in red for us to see. And in most conversations in coffee shops today and around water coolers today, and yes, sometimes even in the hallways of churches today. We will have hallways soon, I promise you. Sometimes even in the hallways of churches today, it seems that Jesus is credited with saying a whole lot of other stuff too. As you already heard, too many people today, I think, are quick to assume that many really popular or even really spiritual sounding thoughts or sayings or ideas, surely they must have come from Jesus, or surely these thoughts or ideas or sayings, they must be thoughts or ideas that he would endorse, right? That he would give a thumbs up to. But that isn't always the case. And so in the next month or so, I'm really excited about everything that's going to come here. In the next month or so, we are going to take a look at, we're going to put under the microscope a handful of those very ideas. If you have been around Mid-Current for a while, you might remember this series a few years ago. And so all we're excited to do is spin this series up again to explore a whole new set of ideas and thoughts and sayings that actually fall into the category Jesus never said that. And in doing so, my hope is that we would learn a whole lot more actually about what Jesus did say, and about what God does want us to understand or make sure that we really know about the life that he has called us to. So I'm real excited that you're here, and I'm really excited to get this series started today. We are going to be kicking things off with maybe, I don't know, there's no way to gauge this, there's no way to measure this, but we're going to be starting off with what I think is maybe one of the most popular phrases spoken by Christians today. This one phrase, it is spoken or typed or texted or tweeted and posted all over the place. In fact, there's a really good chance that someone has said or typed or texted this phrase to you. There's a really good chance that you quite possibly have said or typed or texted this phrase to somebody else. It's a phrase that's really meant to be an encouragement to whoever hears it. It's meant to provide hope, you know, to people who are really struggling. And any Jesus follower who does speak or type or text or tweet or post something like this, I truly believe they have the best, the greatest intentions in mind. And this one idea typically does give most people, when they hear it, it gives most people a real warm and fuzzy feeling inside. Makes us feel good. But unfortunately, it's just not entirely true. So what thought, what idea, what saying could I possibly be referring to? Here it is. Here's the thing that we hear all the time. God will never give you more than you can handle. God will never, ever, ever give you more than you can handle. I'm judging by your response that we've heard this kind of thing, right? Okay. Maybe you even, and this is not a bad thing, I'm not, you know, scolding anybody here. Maybe you've even said that to someone. Maybe at the very least you believe it to be true, or you just want to believe that it is true, that God will never give us more than we can handle. It sounds so nice. It sounds so comforting. It sounds so true and so godlike, doesn't it? Unfortunately, and don't shoot the messenger here, okay? Unfortunately, Jesus never said that. And when we look at this kind of thinking from a real biblical point of view, I don't think that we can say that Jesus would really endorse that kind of thinking either. And so the question is, where did this Jesus sounding soundbite, where did it come from? Why is it so wildly popular in Christian circles today? It's a great question. And so what I want to do with the rest of our time is I want to look to a passage of scripture from the Bible that I think is going to give us some answers as to where this idea actually came from. And I want us to discover what this passage really actually means and what it is that we really need to know about some of the hardships that we face and about some of the things that we are forced to handle. And so to understand where this God will never give you more than you can handle kind of thinking came from, what we need to do is we need to turn to one of the books of the New Testament. It's the book of 1 Corinthians, which is just a letter that was written to a bunch of new Christians in the city of Corinth. And it was written to them by a guy. He was one of the first ever like church leaders, and his name was Paul. Here's what he writes to this group of new Christians in the city of Corinth. He says, the temptations in your life, he's writing to all these Christians. He says, the temptations in your life are no different than what others experience. And God is faithful. That's the great news. God is faithful. And here's what he says next. He will not let you be tempted, which in the Greek language of the New Testament can also mean tested. So many of our Bibles say that God will not let you be tested beyond what you can bear. Okay. I can't be sure, you know, where people hear the things they hear, why they say the things that they say. But this verse right here from 1 Corinthians is typically where this popular, you know, Christian Jesus-sounding soundbite comes from. It's this verse right here, right? God is faithful, and God loves you, and God is for you, and God sees you, and God cares for you. True, 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 and true. And God will never, ever, ever, ever put on your plate more than you can bear. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but this just is not entirely true. So I want to try to break it down. When this verse here in 1 Corinthians, when this verse talks about testing or temptation, that word throughout the New Testament, it can really refer to a number of things. It can refer to sin or to trials or to hardships or to some kind of suffering. It could mean any of those. And so the question is, how do we know what this is getting at? Okay. Well, in the very same way, I started thinking, what's an example that makes sense to us? In the very same way that the word T-E-A-R, for example, could mean ripping a piece of paper into two or having a good cry, it's the context that matters. It's the context that determines the actual meaning. In the context of Paul's letter, of his writing, the context of this whole section of the letter that he writes in 1 Corinthians and what we have described as chapter 10, the context of this letter, this portion of the letter, is referring to testing or temptation. It's really about one thing. The whole letter, if you read it, it's really about one thing. It's about sin. in the moments when we are tempted to stray from the ideals that God has called us toward. So in this way, okay, what this verse is saying, what Paul is writing, is that we won't be tested or tempted to sin, to step outside the lines. We won't be tempted or tested to do any of that beyond what we can handle. He goes on to say this, but when you are tested or tempted to step outside the lines, here's what he writes. He will also, God will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. In other words, here's what he is, Paul's saying in this. When it is late at night, this is what he's getting at. When it is late at night and you're all alone and you're lonely and you're tempted to click or to swipe or to just take a look on the internet, okay? There's gonna be an exit ramp available to you if you would choose to take it. When you are feeling bad about yourself and you're tempted as a way to make yourself feel better, when you're tempted to gossip or to slander or to, you know, poke fun of, there will be an opportunity for you to choose not to, okay? When you are tempted in your flesh to pour another drink, maybe you've already, after you've already had three too many, God will show you a way out. There will not be a moment that you cannot find a way out of. There will be a moment, if you would look for it, for you to make the right decision with the strength that you have. When you're tempted to lie or cheat or steal or fill in the blank, what Paul is saying is there will be, if we would have eyes to see it, there will be an escape hatch for you. There is no sin, there's no temptation, no guilty pleasure, no hidden secret that God hasn't given you some ability to overcome, to refrain from, to say no to in the moment. That is what this verse is getting at. And trust me, that's a powerful message in its own right. I mean, I could take a hard turn and just go down this line for a while. That's a powerful message right there. And there's so much that we could say about all of that. But that's not necessarily the confusion that I wanted to clear up for us today. The confusion that I wanted to clear up is the confusion regarding the hardships and the trials and the suffering and the heartache that we experience in life, that we're told based on this verse that God won't give us any more of that than we can handle. That's what I want to get to the bottom of for us today. And so the question then, and when we understand what this verse is really getting at, the question is, what does God say? What does Jesus say? What does the Bible actually have to say about those moments of trial and testing and suffering and heartache? What does Jesus have to say about some of that? That God won't give us any more of that than we can handle? The answer, unfortunately, it's still no. For starters, Jesus does make it clear that trials and hardships and difficulty and heartache, Jesus does make it clear that those should be expected on this side of heaven. Look at this guarantee that he even makes to you and me. He says, Jesus speaking, he says, in this world, you will have trouble. Okay? Glad you came to church for this one today. He says, you can count on it. You plan on it. Bank on it. Expect it. Sorrows, suffering, troubles, trials, and hardships. Unfortunately, folks, they are just a part of the deal on this side of heaven. But, Jesus says, take heart. I have overcome the world. Okay? On the night before Jesus's, you know, death on a cross, actually, he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he kind of knew the fate that was awaiting him. And he even said, you won't see this on the screen, but he even said, if you read that story about his time praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he even said this, he spoke these words right here, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. So what Jesus does say, what he is making clear here is that not only will we have troubles, but there's a good chance those troubles are going to be a whole lot more than we can handle. The Apostle Paul, even this guy that I already introduced us to who's writing this letter, he even alludes to something similar in his own life. He experienced this kind of trial and testing and trouble and suffering firsthand. In another letter that Paul wrote to these churches in Corinth, he actually goes on in this second letter to say this. You can follow along. He writes to these Christians once again, and he says, "We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters." He wants to be very clear with them. He says, "We think you ought to know about the troubles we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die." That was their experience. That's a real, true, raw, honest description from Paul, one of the very first Jesus followers and leaders in this whole new Jesus movement. This is his real, honest experience about all that he experienced in his life and following Jesus. He's crushed. He's overwhelmed beyond his ability to endure. Thought that you know, he and his partners, that they would never live through it. They said they expected to die. I can't say for sure, but I'm just going to guess that some of you, maybe here today, maybe some of you joining us online right now, I'm just going to guess that maybe you would use some of those same words and some of those same phrases to describe your life right now. Crushed, overwhelmed, beyond your ability to endure. Maybe that describes how you felt in some past season of your life, or maybe you know someone right now in your life, special to you, who would use those words to describe their life right now. Crushed, overwhelmed, beyond anyone's ability to keep moving. And if that is you, then I don't know, you might be getting a little nervous right now. Go on, so Sten, let me get this straight here, okay? You might be saying, wait a second, so God, this loving God who sees me, knows me, cares for me, that God doesn't promise me? God doesn't promise me that he's not gonna, you know, give me more than I can handle, all right? You might be thinking, like, is that what you're really telling me? As in this situation that I'm in right now, this relationship or this mistake or this depression or this loneliness or this fear or this doubt or this uncertainty or this whatever, you might be going, like, wait a second, so you're telling me that it actually could be more than I can handle? It could maybe get the best of me? And hear me out on this. If that's what you're asking yourself right now, Sten, is that what you're saying, that God, he might give me more than I can handle? If that's what you're asking right now, the answer is yes. God might allow you to experience more than you can handle. And here's the truth that I want you to understand today. Sometimes too much can be a great gift from God. Now, don't misunderstand me here. I'm not saying, and I always want to be careful when I talk about this kind of stuff. God doesn't cause the hardships and the pain and the sorrow that we experience in life, but he may not always prevent it. He very well might allow it, whatever it is that you are wading through right now, whatever storm you're in the middle of, he very well might allow it all to be too much or to be more than you can handle. And the question is, why? Why would God allow that? Why would God allow you to be wading in the middle of a storm that is more than you can handle? Why would God allow you to experience too much in your life? Here's the answer. Because something significant happens. Something significant, potentially life-changing. Something significant happens in you and in me when we are in the middle of it. When we are in the middle of the fire, when we are in the middle of the storm, and when the waves and the wind are knocking us around. Something significant happens. Blinders start to fall off of our eyes and off of our hearts, and it all starts to become clear who it is, just who it is that actually has the strength and the power to help us and to lift us up out of whatever we are in the middle of. It all becomes clear who has the power to do that. And here's a hint. It's not you, and it's not me. It's not us that has the power to help pull us out of whatever pit we are in. This is the conclusion, actually, if we keep reading. This is the conclusion that this guy Paul came to following the hardships that he wrote about. And his conclusions shed some light on why exactly, because this maybe doesn't make any sense to us, but his conclusion maybe shed some light on why exactly God might allow you and me to experience more than we can handle. Look at what Paul writes next. He said, we were crushed, we were overwhelmed, we thought we were done for, we thought this was the end of it all. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves. And we learn to rely only on who? God, who raises the dead. Midcurrent, here's the bad news and the good news, all in the very same sentence. God will give you and me more than we can handle so that we will learn to rely on him. So that we will learn to rely on him. And trust me, that's a really scary and a hard place to be, but it can also be really clarifying. And it all can also be a really hopeful and a really enlightening and a really strangely encouraging place to be, to get to that point where you realize I can't rely on myself anymore. It can be a scary place to be, but can also be a really strangely encouraging one and a hopeful one. And that's not just some, like fluffy, like wishful, thinking, some kind of like hocus pocus stuff. It's the honest to God truth that it can be a really good place to be. And I'm not trying to put myself on par with the Apostle Paul here and the life that he lived, but I can attest to some of this stuff, like him. I can attest to some of the trial and the hardship that feels too much. I've lived some of it, and I've experienced some of it, the pain and the heartache, and yet at the same time, in the midst of that, I've experienced the unexpected assurance of God, who is the only one that can do for me what it is that I might need in that moment. In fact, quite recently, God gave me, if I'm being honest with you, God gave me more than I could handle. Okay? Now, I don't know if God gave it to me, but wherever it came from or whatever it was, in the moment, it was more than I could handle at that particular moment. Every fear of mine flashed before my eyes. Every single deep-seated insecurity of mine and every single lie that I'm most tempted to believe, it lit up every single light on the dashboard of my life. And all of a sudden, something that I was so confident of felt like, man, it was a house of cards, and it could crumble at any moment. And I know you're all wondering now, like, whoa, what happened to Sten? And I love to be as honest as I can with you, an open book, but I can't give you all the details today. But here's what you should know about this moment that was more than I could handle. Here's what you should know, just so that your mind doesn't start to wander. I didn't get busted for a DUI. Okay, my second grader, she didn't get expelled for, dealing drugs in the hallways at school. We're good there. There's no skeletons from the closet of my past that got exposed onto the internet. My marriage is as fantastic as it has ever been, and I give God thanks for my wife every single day. It wasn't anything like any of this, but I'm going to tell you, it was a pretty knee-knocking, and it was a pretty soul-crushing experience. Told you that the dashboard of my life was flashing every single light that was possible to light up. And in the middle of it all, when all of it hit the fan. If you're tracking with me. When all of it really hit the fan, eventually I came, this is the truth, eventually I came to a pretty pivotal conclusion. One that I'm praying that every single one of us would come to at a point in our life. The conclusion was this: this is bigger than me. More is at play here than I can do anything about. The conclusion I came to was, I can't handle this on my own. I can't handle the weight of this situation that was bearing down on me. Paul's words are so perfect: crushed, overwhelmed, beyond my ability to endure or to feel like I could make it to the other side. And yet, when you get to that place, here's what happened. Smack dab in the middle of it all. Almost like right at the heat of it all. There was also this sense, and my wife Erica could agree and would attest to this, right? There was also this kind of like weird, eerie, almost hard to explain, counterintuitive sense of peace and comfort in the midst of it all, at the worst of places. This kind of feeling where you know the heartache is not going to go away, that you're going to have to work through it, but it's this feeling that ultimately, somehow you come to this place where it's this feeling that ultimately you recognize, man, this is not riding on my shoulders. This isn't a burden that I was built to carry. It's this kind of peace that which you know you've arrived at a place where one thing is clear, that there is really only one place to turn. That there really is only one thing to do with the burdens that you feel. And it's to put them purely in the hands of the only one who has the ability and has the power and has the strength to do anything about any of it. The only one who truly can handle it. And folks, there is some relief in that kind of realization. That's the place that I arrived. This was more than I could handle on my own, yet somehow in the worst of it, I knew that God's power and God's spirit, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it was the same spirit that lived in me and that was at work in me as well. And it was that spirit that I had to rely on, that same power that I had to tap into. And because Jesus lives, and because God had the power to make it all possible, I knew I couldn't handle it on my own, but I knew that I could face tomorrow. Midcurrent, if you're in a similar place, if any of you are in a similar place right now, feeling crushed, overwhelmed, beyond your ability to endure, if you're saying to yourself, I this is more than I can handle right now, I want to encourage you. I want to fill you with more hope than you've ever experienced before. But unfortunately, I wish I could. Unfortunately, I cannot tell you that God will never give you more than you can handle. But what I can tell you is that God will never give you more than he can handle. I can tell you and I can promise you that God will never give you more than he can handle. And the quicker we learn that in our own lives, the quicker we learn that lesson, the better. The quicker that we learn to rely on God when the stakes are high and when the water is rising, I am convinced the more peace and confidence and strength we will face in the lives that we live. God might not be able to relieve the pain or to relieve the heartache or to relieve the trials or to relieve the testing, but he can handle it. And most of the time, that's really what we need, someone to handle for us what it feels like is too much. The Bible says to us, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Friends, that the reality is, the truth is, you do not have to shoulder life's burdens and life's trials and life's hardships on your own, right? You can't, and truthfully, you won't, but God can and God will. And because of that, we can always face tomorrow. And if too much that's the place that you're at. I can't handle this. This is too much. If too much is what it takes for us to learn, to turn to God and to rely on Him, to acknowledge His power and His ability to do what we cannot do, then maybe, just maybe, too much is a gift to us that we just didn't know we needed. And maybe at a certain point, when the clouds begin to dissipate, maybe too much is a gift that we could even be grateful for. If it meant to, that we learn not to rely on ourselves, but to the God who cares for us, who sees us and tells us to cast our cares on Him. Let me pray for us. God, thanks for today. Thanks for everyone here on site or online that has gathered to open ourselves up to You, God, to give thanks to You and to learn more about who You are and in the life that You have called us to. God, I certainly don't mean to make light of the situations in the world by poking a hole in this idea that You would never give us anything more than we can handle, God. I just know that so many of us at different points and seasons and places and moments in our life, I just know we get to that point when it feels like it's more than we can handle. And I just want us to have as clear an understanding of what it is that's happening. And God, I want us to understand that while You may indeed give us more than we can handle, God, there's a really beautiful gift waiting for us on the other side of that, if we would have eyes to see it, if we would have faith to stick with it, to push through it, God. And even in the midst of the heartache and the challenges and the difficulties, God, if in the midst of too much, in the midst of what was more than we could handle, God, if all of a sudden our eyes and our hearts were open to You, then that's perhaps the greatest gift that any of us could ever receive. So God, if there are those of us who are in the storm, God, would You open our eyes? Would You open the eyes of our hearts to You? God, would You give us a picture that Your arms are open wide, that You say, hey, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out? Come to Me, and I'll give you the rest that you are looking for. God, if there's anybody that needs to experience that rest or that peace, I pray that they would learn to rely not on themselves, but on You and on what You can provide for them in the midst of whatever it is that comes their way or our way. God, we give You thanks for Your incredible love for us that is constantly on full display, quite possibly not any more on display than in the life of Jesus. And so we give You thanks for who He is and what He has done for us. And we pray these things in His name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. Visit us online during the week at midcurrentchurch.org and connect with us on Facebook and Instagram.